John chapter number 20 and verse number 19. If you're there, say amen.
Amen.
My Lord have mercy. That's a little weak. If you're there, say amen.
Amen.
Great. The Bible said, then the same day at evening, being the first day of the week. By the way, if you don't know what that is, that's today.
Amen.
Sunday, the Lord's day. When the doors were shut, where the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews. Let's look at their mental outlook here. They were afraid. They were saddened because of the Lord's death. Even though he had preached to them the death, burial, and resurrection, they were in their shivering. They were frightened. They were gloomy. They were sad. Some of you came in church this morning. Can't help yourself. You feel gloomy. You feel sad. You feel alone. You feel fearful. That's how they felt. But listen to the rest of the story. Came Jesus. I'm glad I got a God when it looks the worst. When I'm as sad as I can be. I've got a God. Whoa. That came and stood in the midst. You said, how'd he get there? Come right through the wall. He didn't even use the door. I'm glad. You know, it's hard to get in a Baptist meeting anyway. Somebody say amen. It's hard to even get in some Baptist Christians today. It's hard to even get around them, Brother Rich. They're so guarded. I wonder what's going to happen next. Sometimes Jesus just got to sneak up on them. Help me preach right there. But I'm glad he's got a way to get in where we are. Whoa, hallelujah. Now notice what he says. Peace be unto you. Now how many of y'all agree in verse 19? They had one disposition. Sadness. Gloom. Discouraged. Disappointed. But you said, what made the difference? Jesus.
Amen.
Man, I've been preaching on Jesus so much these last 3 years. I've been lifting him up.
Amen.
Lifting him up. By the way, he said, if the Son of Man be lifted up, I'll draw all men unto me. You know, we don't need a bunch of testimonies. We need some testimonies about Jesus, about his victory, about what he can do in our life. And hallelujah this morning. Now listen, so you got verse 19. They sad, they was gloomy, they was messed up. But look how quick things change. Look at verse 20. And when he had so said, he showed them to him his hands and his side. Notice this. Oh, church, you got your Bibles. Will you read this section with me? Then were the disciples what? When they saw the Lord. I think I'll just preach a few minutes on this subject. Gone from sadness to gladness. You said, that's impossible, preacher. You don't understand what I'm going through. You don't know how messed up this world is. I know literally how messed up this world is, but I still believe Jesus is the same. I still believe he's the answer. I still believe you can get over some of your gloom and your sadness by just inviting him in.
Amen.
Let me say some things. They didn't have a Bible like you have. They were going through things they didn't understand. See, what they thought, if you read the book, what they thought, he was coming and setting up the kingdom.
Amen.
See, they had all kinds of plans. They say, man, we're going to all get ready to get the kingdom. And then he died. And all those plans went to ashes. But I'm glad for Resurrection Day. Somebody say amen right there. See, they felt abandoned. They felt forsaken. They were traveling through unfamiliar and unfriendly territory. How many of you understand what I mean by unfriendly and unfamiliar territory? I'm talking about going through something you've never been through before. I'm talking about facing something you've never faced before. These boys never faced this before. For the last 3.5 years, he's been by their side. For the last 3.5 years, he's given them such scripture lists like, let your heart not be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. Hey, he's been great. He's given them great scripture that he'd give them a comforter. He was in it. Encouragement. But now they were in unfamiliar territory. But I'm glad that in the shadows came Jesus. How many of y'all glad that he ain't like some of your friends? He's not a fickle friend. He's not a fair weather friend. By the way, he's a friend is closer than a brother. Woo! Let me give you 5 things right here from this passage. Will you follow me? 5 things that'll take you from sadness to gladness. I love the Bible. Let's look at it, will you? In verses 1-4. Just turn back there. Verses 1-4, they crucified him. And look what it said. The first day of the week cometh Mary Magdalene when it was yet dark unto the sepulchre and seeth what? Somebody say it. And seeth what? The stone taken away from the sepulchre. You know why they got released from sadness to gladness? Because the stone was rolled away. The choir, Jason, I didn't tell you what to sing. That man, you hit it on the button this morning. He's alive. He's alive this morning. The stone's rolled away. He's out of the tomb. He's at the right hand of the Father. He's making intercession for you today. I'm glad that he came on time, in time. And he does it every time. He's a great God who's alive, who's making intercession, who is our helper, who is our succor, who takes the care of us. Somebody help me here. He said, I'm he that liveth. Woo. And was dead. Behold, I'm alive forevermore. And I've got the keys, woo, of death and hell. Well, somebody said, Preacher Smith, how saved are you? I'm saved all the way, amen. He was delivered from my sin or iniquity and raised from my justification. I'm declared righteous. A stone's been rolled away. You don't have to stay in gloominess. You don't have to stay in sadness. You don't have to stay in your depression. He's alive. The stone's rolled away. We can go in. Well, glory. I've been to Israel twice, and we're going a third time. And I've been in the tomb, and I want y'all to know he's not there. But I want to tell you what, I really didn't have to go to Jerusalem to tell you that. He's in me, friend. The comforter. He says he's going to leave. He's going to leave me the comforter. He's in me. He's in you this morning. He's the resurrected Christ this morning. The stone is rolled away. Wow, glory. Man, oh man. Hallelujah. Number 2, look at verse 9. Look at verse 9, chapter 20, verse 9. Look, boy, this here's good. Why can't you go from sadness to gladness? Look at verse 9. For as yet they knew not the scripture. They heard it. Hold it, homie. Some of y'all, I preach to you every Sunday morning, Sunday night. And I'd preach the truth to you every week. And you know what? Jesus did the same thing to the disciples. And they heard it. They just didn't know it. That's one thing to hear it. And another thing to experience it. There's one thing to hear it in your ear. But there's another thing about getting it in your heart. Amen. For as yet they knew not the scripture that he must rise again from the dead. Number two, not only the stone was rolled away, but number two, the scripture was fulfilled. Somebody said, "Preacher, I'm facing all hell." Well, you don't need to call your mother-in-law to get out of it. You don't need to call some friend to get their suggestion. You know how we can go from sadness to God? You know what some of y'all's problem is? I might as well just cut a little bit off of you right now. You know what some of your problem is? You're never in this. It's really don't excite. Some of you not even paying attention this morning. You know what your whole problem is? You're not interested in the book. You're not interested in the scripture. Hey, somebody help me right there. That's why you always gloomy. That's why you Mrs. Doom and Mr. Doom. But if you're really sold out, you really got God, you believe this scripture, you can get a hold of it. By the way, every once in a while the devil comes on me and I start thinking maybe he's winning. Then I read the scripture, for if God be for you, who could be against you? Then I read the scripture that I got a God that said he'd never leave me nor forsake me. Then I get a scripture that he's with the God. Lord God, I'm happy this morning. You know why some of you are half bored? You come to church, you watch your iPhone, you're talking all the time. You know why you're half bored? Because the scripture's not real. But if it ever gets a hold of you, if you ever get in it, if it ever becomes real, you'll know you don't have to live in gloom.
Amen. Amen.
And some people come to church, I wonder why they're there. They're either watching their iPhone, talking to their neighbor, acting like an idiot. What'd you come to church for? I came to hear from God. I need the scripture. I'm in sadness. I have gloom. But I have hope in Jesus. You said you just made me mad. You stayed mad, sir. Ma'am, you woke up mad this morning. You Mr. or Mrs. Grumpy.
Yes, sir.
You think I'm going to roll over for you? You can try to get my mind off of what I'm preaching, but I'm staying with it, amen.
Amen.
Jeremiah was getting ready to quit. How many of you ever? Hey, Dale, I see you back here. Have you ever been where you're almost ready to quit? You get your eyes on people long enough, you might want to.
Yeah, right.
Come on, somebody help me.
Yeah.
Jeremiah, you know what he said in Jeremiah 20? Joe Osovo, you know what he said? Jeremiah said, "I'm quitting." Some of these young preachers, they get real discouraged once in a while. I know it's easy. When you hear some members come up and act like dummies, and you know they're a negative all the time, you feel like quitting. Jeremiah was there. You always said when he got ready to quit, "Oh, good Lord. Then the word was in me like a fire." Somebody help me right here. Lois Dale, there's been some times I've been to the place of quitting. Listen to me. I remember one time I was ready to quit. By the way, you get hate mail and anonymous letters and people that's always out after you, you might want to quit too. Huh? I had one filled out one day. All the way out. It'd be years ago. I'm too crazy now to quit.
Amen.
It was years ago, and I had it all filled out, and I was going to give it to deacons on Monday. And my wife said this. Here's what she said. Oh, yeah, go ahead. I guess the Bible's not real. Don't you hate to have a wife that preaches? She said, I guess the Bible's not real. And she said, you know, last week we had that, and she named the fellow's name. That man, she said, here's what you ought to do Wednesday night. Before you quit, go up here to tell the people the Bible's not real. Tell that man that told you that you were his hero and he got saved because you're preaching that it ain't real. And all them little bus kids that come around and hug your leg and tells you how much they love Jesus and love you, tell them that it's not real. I thought, well, honey, I was just kidding. It's real. And they ain't nothing more real. Jared, ain't nothing more real. How many's ever had this happen? I don't know if I'll get all this done. Ain't nothing more real than Jesus jump off the pages at you. Than Jesus coming and show you out of his word. That Jesus says a sweet word to you. Ain't nothing more real than that. Ain't nothing more precious than that. Ain't nothing better than that. Amen. But listen to me. You in real bad shape if preaching don't touch you and the word don't touch you. Number three, look at verse 22. Ooh, man. Why can I go from sadness to gladness? Stone's been rolled away. The scripture's been fulfilled. Number three, look at verse 22. Boy, this messes up some of my Baptist friends' doctrine. This one right here blows their mind. And when he had said this, he breathed on them and saith unto them, receive ye the Holy Ghost. I don't want to upset some of your apple carts, but that was before Pentecost. I have a lot of my brethren said, well, the birthday of the church was on the day of Pentecost. You confuse me. Because see, how could there be no church if he said if you have an ought with somebody, you go back and forth, and then if that don't work, you come and take it to the church. How can you take it to something that don't exist? Good preaching, Reverend.
Amen.
Number three, the Spirit's power was available. I want you to know, there's some of you, you better listen to me. Let's get dead serious right now. There's some of you, your problem is, you don't have God's power. You don't know why you're so sad. You know why your mind's always not on worship? Because I ain't saying you ain't saved. I ain't saying you don't have the Holy Spirit. I'm just saying he don't have you. Oh, happy day. When I quit worrying about what other Baptists said about me, I'm going to be honest with you, every once in a while, now, don't y'all get shook about this. Every once in a while, I'll have an old church of God call me up, Dale, and say, man, that's great preaching. That's what we used to do years ago. The other day, I know somebody, and listen, man, I'm not an ecumenicalist, but I can't help if they call. There's a Pentecostal called me. A Pentecostal. He said, now, He don't get out to church much anymore. He's been sick. He said, I listen to your service on them live streaming things on my computer. He said, I ain't never seen no Baptist like you. You know what? Here's what's happening in the Baptist church. The Holy Ghost has been caught. It's now something we need to whisper about. I want you to know something. We had the Holy Ghost before the Pentecostals had the Holy Ghost. And here's our problem today. You want our problem today? We're not experiencing. We're not allowing him to work in our life. Let me tell you, there ain't nothing take you. Listen, woo glory. Ain't nothing will take you out of gloominess and sadness like the sweet Holy Ghost. I wonder why some of you hadn't just yielded to it. You tried everything else. And I'll tell you what's going to happen to you. You're going to try all this junk instead of Jesus. And you're going to get discouraged. And I'm going to tell you what you're going to do. You're going to become the biggest critic, the biggest judge in the church. And everybody's bad. And everybody's just running on fumes. And it's not real. And God blesses this song or God blesses this message, you're blaming it on emotion. I want you to know it ain't emotion, brother. It's more than that. It's the power of God. It's the sweet Holy Ghost.
Yes, amen.
It's what I got's not a figment of my imagination. It ain't something just I just tingle about. There's a real person in me. There's real power in me. And he's not only in me, he's in you too. But it's easy to just come here to church, sit down. Well, hurry up, preacher. Some of us already planning your escape here in 8 minutes. No, you ought to say, sweet Holy Ghost, use this man. Sweet Holy Ghost, work in my life. Sweet Holy Ghost, I need your power. And some of you about quit. And some of you about down as you can be. The Holy Ghost will encourage you this morning.
Amen.
Number four, Lord have mercy. Go on in your Bible with me to verse 24. This one, I want you to see this. Please look at this. But Thomas, one of the 12 called Didymus, was not with them when Jesus came. The fourth thing I want to show you. You can go from sadness to gladness. And the fourth thought is the saints were comforted. There's three people that I want you to write your notes about this. There's three people in this passage that was prominent. How many of you know who the three were? If you could jump out, it was Mary. It was all the disciples. And then it was Thomas. Well, listen, look at the emotions, George. Look at the emotions. Mary came weeping. The disciples came worried. And Thomas came wondering. Let me put this thing on slow. Hey, some of you came with a hurt in the heart this morning. You came weeping. Then there's some of you came. You're worried. Well, if this one gets in the election or this one, we're done. I want y'all to know something. I do care who gets elected, but I want you to know something. No matter who gets elected, I'm not done.
No.
I've been at this too long. I'm not done. And we're not done. As long as we got God, we're not done.
Amen.
Let's take all three of these. Just stay with me. I want to give you, this is where it really gets ministering to us. First of all, let's look at verse 19. Verse 19, you go over there. Well, excuse me, not verse 19, but verse number 11. Let's start at 11. But Mary stood without at the sepulchre weeping. And some of you have been, nobody knows it. You've been going through depression and discouragement. And you've been weeping at night. And you're hurting. Mary came weeping. As she wept, she stooped down and looked into the sepulchre and seeth two angels in white sitting, the one at the head and the other at the feet where the body of Jesus had lain. And they said unto her, Woman, why weepest thou? She saith unto them, Because they have taken away my Lord, and I know not where they have laid him. And when she had thus said, she turned herself back. She looked back, Jared. Look at this. And saw Jesus standing. And knew not that it was Jesus. And Jesus saith unto her, Woman, why weepest thou? Whom seeketh thou? She, supposing him to be a gardener, saith unto him, Sir, if thou had been born him hence, tell me where thou had laid him, and I will take him away. Listen. And Jesus said, Mary. Woo. Somebody shout or something. Jesus said, what? Mary. Amen. And she turned herself and said to him, Rabboni, which is to say, Master. Amen. It's been a few times when Mark couldn't help me. The deacons couldn't help me. My staff couldn't help me. I was full of pain and fear. But Jesus, woo, came by and said, John David.
Amen.
And then I turn and say, Rabbi, Master, there's nothing like Jesus speaking to you this morning. It'll bring you from sadness to gladness. You want some of your problem is you're shutting him off. You want some of your problem is you're looking at things wrong. You need to see him as your help this morning.
Amen.
Not only was she weeping, the disciples were in the upper room, door shut, worried. Can I say something, Adele? This is good here. How many of y'all read that passage with me and noticed they weren't praising and they weren't praying and they weren't preaching? You know what the devil wants to do? He just wants to get you so bewildered that you won't pray. You won't sow him. You just quit and say, I'm done. That's what they've done. But Jesus came in. Whoa! He come in unexpectedly. He come in unfiltered. Hey, folks, what would some of you little Baptist people do if he come walking through the wall right there? Huh? I'll tell you what some of you do, because you think it's some emotional outburst. You think, well, somebody plowed through with a dozer. Now, I don't know, Dale. It's just me. And you can't prove me wrong. He didn't make a hole in the wall. And he come through the wall in a body of flesh and bone.
Amen.
And didn't he make a hole in the wall? He was uninvited, unexpected, unfiltered. Just something happened when he came and said, you ever had this happen? Peace be still. How many in this church, how many's ever experienced that? Peace be still. When God, nobody else can help you, but God came and said, peace be still. And then there's a third person. His name was Thomas. And he wasn't worried. And he wasn't weeping. But he sure was wondering. You know what filled our churches? You know what's filled our churches? It's a bunch of doubting people. We're a church full of doubters. Am I preaching? We're a church full of doubters. Is he the same God? Is he the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob? Is he the God that pulled the Red Sea back? Is he that God? If he is, he's the same.
Amen.
And Thomas done said, I ain't believed him until I put my hand on that and reach it in his side.
Easy.
Amen. I want you to know something, Denny. And nobody can prove this wrong either. Thomas never touched him. All Jesus did is look. Look, there's some of you people in this room. God has been so gracious to you and so good to you. And you're full of doubt. Just look. And Jesus said to him, or Thomas said to him, my Lord and my God. And you know what he said, Thomas? Blessed are they. There's another crowd, Thomas. The John Smiths of the world. The Denny McGrews of the world. The Deanna Hildebolts of the world. What's your name? Tobin. I called you Coben. Tobin of the world. They ain't never seen me. But they still believe. I want to tell you, I'm not seeing him. But he believed. I'm going to give you this last one. I won't go back to my notes, but I want to finish the sermon. The fifth thing. He gave them a special sign. You know, really, God wants us to live by faith. Mm-hmm. How many of y'all believe that? Yep. But I am a messed up somebody. I have to be honest with you. I still do this every once in a while, and it's unscriptural as it can be. Sometimes I ask God for a fleece. Do you know that's unscriptural? Now, God does it. Ain't unscriptural about it. But I need a sign every once in a while. Well, you say, well, what sign did he give them? When John and Peter started running toward the tomb, the Bible said that John outrun him, but Peter went in first. You know what he saw? He saw them linen clothes lying by themselves. That's something he'd not get back in. Then they saw something folded, and it was the napkin. You know what that napkin said? Boys, I'm not finished with you. Amen. And sometimes I wonder why God would even have anything to do with me. Have you ever felt that way? I know me behind closed doors. I know me in the secret. I wonder why God even have anything to do with me. Then he comes and shows me a sign. I'm not finished with you yet. Amen. Whoa! Amen. I don't deserve a sign. I shouldn't get a sign. I ought to have enough faith to walk by faith, but sometimes it just shows me something to get my attention. Amen. That's God. Amen. Hey, some of you came into church this morning with a weeping attitude. You're hurting. As some of you came in the church this morning, worried as you could be about what's going on in your life. And then there's some who came in church this morning, wondering, doubting, just wondering if it's real or not. Wondering if I can really count on him or not. But he came in the room. And when they were sad, they become glad. Can I say this to you? If you're unsaved, if you trust Christ in your heart, you can go from sadness to gladness. But if you're here in this church and you're saved, but you just said, you know, enough. Nothing seems real anymore. Everything seems like a facade. You know what's happened to you? That relationship and fellowship you had with the Lord, it's gone. And you know what a lot of Christians ought to do this morning? Is quit worrying about what everybody thinks. How somebody might judge you. By the way, they point their finger at you. They got four more pointing back at them. I'm unimpressed by people that judge people. Don't worry about this morning. As some of you ought to come saying, I'm weeping. I'm worried. I'm even wondering. And I'll tell you what will happen. He may not come through a wall, But he will come in your life if you invite him.
Amen.
Heads bowed and eyes closed. Dear God. Oh, dear God. Heads bowed, eyes closed. No one looking around. How many right now say, Preacher Smith, if I die today, I know for sure I'm going to heaven. Raise your hand up if you know. Hold them high. Hold them high. Thank you. How many right now say, Preacher Smith, if I died today, I'm not sure I'd go to heaven. And I want to be saved. I want to know the Lord. Pray for me. Would you slip your hand up? If you're not sure you're saved, God bless that hand. Anybody else? How many Christians right now will say, Preacher John? Preacher John, I came to church worried and weeping and wondering. Preacher John, I need Jesus to be real in my life again. I know I'm saved. How many raise your hand and just say, pray for me. Christians is going through something. Yes, 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 yes. Stand with me. Our Father, Lord, thank you for this time together. Thank you for the sweet word of God. Thank you, Lord, that you're still on the throne. Lord, touch them. Bless, we pray. In Jesus' name. Amen.